Thank you, Lord. May God bless the reading of the word. Now I want you to close your Bible and focus on your notebook if you have it. I want your attention. I want your attention now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I trust that by the grace of God, what I'm going to talk about is going to help you. It's going to help you. It has been my prayer. It has been my prayer throughout that when the word comes down upon us, let it be a word that can touch us, a word that can set us up for the anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Exodus, the book of Exodus is the book of the coming out. Is the book of the coming out of the captivity of Egypt. It's important to understand, firstly, that before the captivity, the Israelites, they entered into the land of Egypt by choice. They were not forced. There was no element of force from the Egyptians. But there were certain circumstances that made Egypt to be a very favorable territory to be. Remember, if you read the Bible talks of the 7 years of the great harvest and the 7 years of the great drought. And Joseph was already in Egypt. He was in the prison, and God used him to interpret the dream of the king. And because of that interpretation, then the king got the wisdom to be able to manage these two seasons, the season of the great harvest, as well as the season of the great famine, or of the great drought. So everywhere else, there was no food, there was no provision, except in Egypt, there was a great drought. So the Israelites, when they entered into the land of Egypt, nobody was forcing them. Nobody was forcing them to go there. But the circumstances were the ones pushing them there so that they can deliver themselves from a drought, from a famine. That's why I'm saying, when you take a look into their presence in the land of Egypt, it was by choice. They had to choose to be in Egypt so that they save themselves from hunger and starvation. Thank you, Jesus. Now, chapter 1 of the book of Exodus is very interesting in that it begins to talk of the 70 people that were with Jacob, the 70 souls that were with Jacob. When you read from verse 1. And the Bible begins to mention the sons that were with Jacob. The sons that were with Jacob. Thank you, Jesus. And there were 11 of them. There were 11 of them that were with Jacob. Because the 12th son, who is Joseph, was already in Egypt. Are we together, Church of God? He was already in Egypt. Then the Bible speaks about this generation, the generation that Jacob took into Egypt, that all of them, they died. All of them, they died. That generation passed on, and in another generation, the children of Israel, they were still in Egypt. at it from the book of Exodus, it will help you to understand the beginning of the captivity. Because they were enjoying themselves in a place that they were given by the Egyptians, which was called Geshem. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible, from verse 8, begins to say, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And then he began a conversation with his people. And he said, behold, these people, the children of Israel, they are becoming more and also mightier than we. So he suggested that they deal with them wisely, so that in the event of a conflict, if the Egyptians were to fight another nation, the Israelites were not going to be against them. So, reading on, then the Bible says, then the king decided to appoint taskmasters. Thank you, Jesus. So that these taskmasters, they will afflict the Israelites. Thank you, Jesus, with burdens. Keep them busy and occupied. And then when you read on, then the Bible says, and the Israelites, they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Thank you, Lord. I want you to be as concentrated as possible. Gather your concentration as possible, because my message is just going to be contained in those few lines of scripture. Thank you, Jesus. What I want you to understand, the Bible is saying, now there arose. So the Bible is highlighting the rising up of an authority. Now there arose up in Egypt a new king. Somebody say, a new king. There arose up in Egypt a new king. And he was not only new. The Bible goes on and says, he did not know Joseph. He did not know Joseph. That's the other thing that I want you to take note of. So if it is your Bible, you can underline that part where a new king rose. And also you can underline that part where the Bible is saying, he did not know Joseph. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you are going to be lost, you miss it, especially on this verse. You miss it on this verse. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible is saying, now there arose up a new king in the land of Egypt. And this king, he didn't know Joseph. He didn't know Joseph. Then you begin to hear that king talking about the Israelites and their presence in Egypt, that they were becoming more plenteous. They were increasing at a very, very fast rate, an alarming rate. And not only that, they were also mightier than the Egyptians. Thank you, Jesus. So, you find the king pointing up two things that you need to understand there. The first one being, the Israelites were multiplying. Somebody say, they were multiplying. And the other thing, the Israelites, they were becoming mightier. Somebody say, they were becoming mightier. Thank you, Jesus. So, you are seeing two things there that are being highlighted by this king. It means that this king was not comfortable at all. Looking into these two things being prominent amongst the children of Israel. Thank you, Jesus. He was not comfortable. And because of their multiplication, and because of their growth in strength, they were mightier. You hear the king now telling his people, let's act wisely. Otherwise, these people, when there comes a conflict, they will be against us. And then, reading on, you find the king setting what are called taskmasters over them. Somebody say taskmasters. I want you to understand, because that's exactly where your issue is. That's exactly where your issue is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's exactly where your story is. Thank you, Jesus. The king was not happy by multiplication. Inasmuch as you can grow in other dimensions of life, there are only a few dimensions of your growth which can be so threatening to your adversary. They are not all things that an enemy, when he's looking at you, he will try to fight you because of those things. Some of you, when you check your life right now, you may think of many, many cases that the enemy may have against you. But today has come to help you to center your focus on these two things. It's not all the cases where you find an enemy fighting your progress because of your complexion, because of your height, because of how light skinned or how dark skinned you are, or how short you are, how tall you are. It's not all the times. In nature cases, when we look at people who are fighting something, it has to do with increase. It has to do with increase. You are gathered together here, and most of you believe that there are certain things that are attacking your progress from the spiritual dimension of life. Thank you, Jesus. And also from the material order of life. Now, you are here, and I want you to put your focus on those two things that I'm trying to highlight by scripture. Thank you, Jesus. Many people who are fighting demons, many people who are fighting witchcraft, they fight those things according to what the enemy saw, especially in particular the presence of these two things in your life. So your enemy, when he looks at you and sees the potential that you carry as a person, and he looks at you and he witnesses the level of your multiplication, it can be multiplication in material order, in the material order of life. whereby you are fruitful in the works of your hands. It can be multiplication according to the fruit of your body, whereby you are fruitful. God has given you the fruits of your womb. Thank you, Jesus. Normally, these are things that will make the enemy very angry when he's looking at you. Thank you, Jesus. So, you will not find yourself being attacked spiritually, materially, especially if these two things are not prominent in your life. Because there must be a reason why that witch has to leave her blankets overnight to come to your house to try to bewitch you. There must be a reason why the devil himself has to appropriate a demon to monitor your progress. It must be in matters pertaining to your multiplication. If it doesn't pertain to your multiplication, it pertains to your strength. The enemy, when he's looking at you, he sees your strength. Because strength, it makes you to become an accomplisher of purpose and destiny. Thank you, Jesus. Imagine the people here. Now, the Bible is saying, they rose up a new king. So, the issue of deliverance, it is always an issue that involves authorities. It is always an issue that involves authorities. You cannot be captivated by a lesser power. I want you to understand what I'm talking about here. You cannot say there is a demon that is trying to suppress me and that demon is lesser. Thank you, Jesus. All of that force is lesser. There rose up a new king. And then the Bible says, this new king, he didn't know Joseph. This new king, he didn't know Joseph. Thank you, Jesus. So, Joseph, amongst all the things, I want you to understand something about the name Joseph there. Thank you, Jesus. Because I believe, as the scriptures have already highlighted, the Bible is clearly saying that Jacob and his sons, all of them, they were dead. They were all dead. But the Bible is talking about the rising up of a new king. After Jacob had died, after Levi had died, after Reuben had died, after Benjamin had died, together with the other sons and the other 70 souls that were brought into Egypt. From the first time they entered in that land. Thank you, Jesus. So, what is the Bible talking about when the Bible is saying there rose up a new king? Who didn't know Joseph? It's like saying after someone had died, then there comes another person who didn't even know that person who died. And then you hear everything that is happening, everything that is being instigated by that new individual, being centered on that dead individual. Thank you, Jesus. The way he's saying, this new king rose up and he didn't know Joseph. So my question to you, because if you don't open up your mind to understand this, then you never understand what I'm trying to put across. Why now the focus on someone you don't know? Why now the focus on somebody you never met? Because this king, he never met Joseph in person. He didn't know him. Thank you, Jesus. Imagine we did for you. They rose up a new king over Israel, and you didn't know Joseph. And then you begin to see the things that he began to do. Because he didn't know Joseph. So everything that you are seeing this new king doing, it's simply because this new king, he didn't know Joseph. And that's what he did for you. Thank you, Jesus. The setting up of the taskmasters, the reason is because the new king, he didn't know Joseph. And also he was seeing their multiplication in all dimensions, including in strength. And that's what he did for you. So, why is it that there is a problem? There rose up a new king who didn't know Joseph. And the word who didn't know, no, it means that this person probably, it's not about having an encounter with this man before. I believe we cannot talk about that. Because this king, when he came into power, Joseph was long dead. He was not around. Baby Jesus. So, why this new king? Baby Jesus. The Bible is saying, there rose up a new king who didn't know Joseph. And then he started a conversation with these people and he said, behold the children of Israel. They are becoming more and mightier than we are. Let's not do wisely with these people. Thank you, Jesus. That's where my message is going to be. The new king didn't know Joseph. Now, when someone says, I don't know someone. When someone says, I don't know someone, it can be because they never met. It can be because they never met. Let's say I come to you and I ask you, do you know this individual? Do you know Brother Tino? And you've never seen him before. You tell them, I don't know him. Am I doing it for you? But it's not all the times whereby somebody will say, I didn't know. Whereby he didn't know. In some instances, the word is simply trying to show you that that person did not recognize, did not regard. Imagine it for you. So, when you are reading the scriptures, I want you to try to open up your mind as best as you can. Thank you, Jesus. There rose up a new king who did not know Joseph. So, you may put it in this way and say the new king, he never met with this man called Joseph. But I believe that all that was done by Joseph, it was documented. It was documented. It was in writing, all that he did. That's why right now we are able to read even in the scriptures to see what Joseph accomplished. So it's not all about not being in the know. I don't know. But it can also imply to me that this king, he did not recognize all that Joseph did. Thank you, Jesus. Because the Israelites, their presence in Egypt, it was because of Joseph. Their understanding with the Egyptians, it was because of Joseph. Remember, Joseph was not an ordinary person in Egypt. He was promoted after he interpreted the matters of the king. And he was given a high office in the land of Egypt. So the Bible is trying to show you that they rose up a certain authority who didn't recognize whatever Joseph did in the land of Egypt. Thank you, Jesus. And you begin to hear that new thing. See, behold these people. They are multiplying. They are now more. And they are now mightier than we are. Thank you, Jesus. Am I helping someone here? I'm trying to open your mind.
Amen.
Am I helping you? They rose up. Now, when you want to understand biblical characters, sometimes it's very, very important to understand what they accomplished. Joseph was not an ordinary individual. He was a great accomplisher. He was the man who saved Egypt from a great and terrible drought. So you cannot tell me that this king, he didn't know what Joseph had done. Thank you, Jesus. What I can tell you is that this new king, he didn't recognize. Thank you, Jesus. Because each and every issue that you are going to deal with today, it's centered on recognition. Thank you, Jesus. When an enemy is trying to fight you, in other instances, he doesn't recognize what you are doing. He doesn't regard. He gives less regard in what you are doing. He thinks you don't deserve. And I'll be someone here. Tell me of a witch who is bewitching you because you deserve. In their mind, they say you don't deserve to be in this environment. You don't deserve to be in this marriage. You don't deserve to experience this peace. So a great deal of individuals who are experiencing troubles and problems is because there is an element, there is somebody observing their life and they feel that you don't deserve. Imagine people here. When a demon is attacking you in the material order, it's because there is an authority that feels like you don't deserve. Thank you, Jesus. Am I speaking to people here? There is an authority that feels like you don't deserve. I want you to talk to that person close to you. Ask them, do you deserve? Do you think you deserve? Thank you, Jesus. If you don't think you deserve it, then you never fight for it.
Amen.
How are you going to fight for a deliverance that you feel yourself you don't deserve? If you feel like you don't deserve that peace in your family, then why fight for that peace? Actually, when you feel like you don't deserve it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
They rose up. So this new king, he had little discern, he had little regard. He didn't regard all that Joseph had accomplished. And I want you to understand, because the Bible, it hides a lot of great deal in certain characters. So if you want to understand what the Word of God is trying to portray, you better understand the character better. Let's look into the character of this man, Joseph. Why, of all the people, remember, 70 people they went into the land of Egypt together with Jacob. So why, of all the people, is it that this king is only focusing on one individual, Joseph? Why not focus on Jacob? Because Jacob was Israel, he was the father. But the Bible is telling you, there rose up a new king who did not know Joseph. It's centered on one individual, Joseph. And I don't need people here. Tell me, Jesus. I want you to understand something there. Jesus. I'm asking you, Joseph was one of the little boys. He was not the firstborn child of Jacob. So I'm asking you a question. Why is it that this king is concentrating his attention on the knowledge of only one individual there? Only on Joseph. The Bible is not saying there rose up a new king who didn't know Jacob. No, no, no. The Bible is saying he didn't know Joseph. Why Joseph? I want to share with you some mysteries there, if you are going to allow me. Am I ready for you? The devil will never focus on everyone. The devil, whenever the devil is focusing his attention on you, then it means you are someone. Imagine it for you. Whenever there is an enemy concentrating his energies to fight your progress, then know that you are someone. Thank you, Jesus. There was a new king who didn't know Joseph. And when you look into the scriptures, how Joseph was born, you've been understanding from the beginning of this man's life. How was he born? He was born of Rachel. And who was Rachel? Rachel was the wife of Jacob. And what was she? Remember, from the beginning, even when Jacob wanted to marry, he chose Rachel. But Laban, he manipulated that marital ceremony, and at the end of the toys and labors of Jacob, he rewarded him with someone he didn't work for, and he gave him Leah. Imagine it for him. And when you check the scriptures going down, you are going to understand that after Leah was given to this man Jacob, he had to go back again and labor again for another 7 years. Why am I speaking to people here? Because that devil is able to read into destinies and is able to see what certain people can carry. So that devil will never fight anything that doesn't carry any purpose. So you begin to see Rachel's marriage being fought by Laban to a level whereby Jacob had to work for a double amount of time than what he was supposed to work for. Amen. Instead of working for only 7 years, he ended up toiling for 14 years. It was not in the agenda of Jacob to have two wives, but he worked for one wife and he was manipulated. The Bible says after the marriage ceremony, then the next morning, that is when Jacob realized that, I've been deceived. When he woke up and he checked his wife next to him, he find it's not Rachel, it's Leah. Am I talking to people here? Am I talking to people here? You are seeing somebody being fought from a point whereby he was not even in the home of his mother. Before the mother got even married to someone who was carrying a destiny, Laban had to make sure that that marriage was fought. Am I speaking to people here? I've got to announce to somebody this place. You can't find yourself in a situation if you don't carry something. If the enemy is looking at you and he doesn't see anything, then there is no reason for that enemy to fight you. Am I speaking to people here? Who was Rachel? After she got to be married to this man Jacob, she was barren for a great deal of time. And you begin to see the scriptures detailing even the mock she was getting from Leah. because he was barren. Am I speaking to people here?
Amen.
And the Bible that I read says, there came a time when God opened, God consented, God listened to the prayer of this woman, Rachel. Yeah. And he decided, no, now this is time for me to give this woman a son. So, the Bible that I read says, and then Rachel, she conceived. Thank you, Jesus. So you are seeing this man. This king says he doesn't know. He is a product of a struggle. People need to struggle so that this man can have a slant in his time. And I speak, he says, thank you, Jesus. Rachel, she was barren for a great deal of time. And she prayed and prayed. And then God had to listen to the prayer. And he opened the womb. And she conceived. And when she gave birth to this boy, you're going to miss me on this. When she gave birth to this boy, according to the book of Genesis, chapter 30, verse 24, the Bible that I read says, and she called his name Joseph. And when she called his name Joseph, she said, the Lord shall add to me another son. So Joseph was not only Joseph, because Joseph, when he was born, the mother made a declaration. So the name Joseph, it was not an ordinary name, because it was a declarative name. The mother had to declare something about this child. She called him Joseph because she said, the Lord shall add upon me another son. Thank you, Jesus. So when you are seeing the king Pharaoh in the land of Egypt fighting the Israelites because he doesn't know Joseph, you better open up your eyes to understand who is Joseph in this instance. Because the scriptures that I read, they clearly put it across that the man Joseph was long dead. So who is the Joseph? This king doesn't know. Tell me, Jesus. Can I make sense? Tell me, Jesus. I'm here to open up your eyes. Now, there rose up another king who didn't know Joseph in the land of Egypt. Now, the name Joseph there, it was not an ordinary name, it was a declarative name. It means the name was a prophetic name. Besides the name being a prophetic name, it had a great deal of numeracy and statistics in it. The woman, when she named this boy Joseph, she said, because there is going to come an addition, an addition, an addition.
Amen.
Am I speaking to people here?
Yes.
A greater deal of your battles that you're fighting right now is because the devil that you're fighting, he ran away from maths. He doesn't want to see things being added upon your life. All that he was in expecting your destiny is subtraction, subtraction, subtraction. The moment when God brings addition, addition, and multiplication, it makes your devil to be angry. Am I making sense to people here? Thank you, Jesus. Because the scriptures, they put it across. Because this king, he didn't know Joseph. He went to his people and he said, now, because these people, they are becoming more. It means that the king, he did not know the big person in person, Joseph. It means the king, he didn't have regard to the accomplishment of the person. And also, it means that the king, he did not recognize and he didn't have regard to the principle of addition and multiplication. Tell me, Jesus. You're going to miss me on that. Am I speaking to people here? Am I speaking to people here?
Yes.
He did not, Joseph.
Amen.
Am I speaking to people? Why is it that people, when they see things being ended on your life, they begin to fight? It's because you are fighting against a devil who doesn't love addiction, who doesn't love multiplication. All that he expects to see in your life is affliction. Am I speaking to people here? Because the scriptures that I read them say it clearly that the king said, because these people, they are becoming more and mightier than we. I need to open up your eyes. Am I speaking to people? No witch can come and bewitch you because you are dark. Am I speaking to people? But when a witch begins to see and begins to be a subject, witness of the multiplication that God is about to bring in your life, then the witch is there to fight against you. Thank you, Jesus. Today, my message is going to center upon the forces which don't like multiplication. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And you begin to see, the king saying, because they are becoming more and mightier than we are. And Joseph, the name Joseph, it means the Lord shall end. It means the Lord shall end. So, if there is an addition that the Lord shall end upon your life, why is it that then your enemy is fighting your progress? It means not that the man, the king, that was in place in that time. It doesn't mean that he didn't know. It doesn't mean that he didn't know Joseph. He knew what Joseph had done. But what he didn't know, he didn't know the principle of addition. He didn't have respect on that. Am I speaking to people?
Amen.
Am I speaking to people?
Amen.
I don't know what you're fighting for. I don't know what you're fighting for. If you are praying for something, it has to do with these things. The multiplication of something in your life. And the Almighty you are becoming. Please be consistent with your keyboard. Thank you. Am I talking to people here?
Amen.
Becoming more mighty. They were multiplying. They were multiplying.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. They were multiplying. So the devil doesn't want to see something being added in your life.
Amen.
Is it make sense to people here?
Yes.
Why is it that when you buy something new, then your enemy becomes jealous? Am I speaking to people here? Why is it that when you get a new baby and you are expecting everybody to celebrate and find your enemy becoming angry? Why is it that when you get a new job, you find somebody being robbed upon that job? Why is it that when there is a promotion and addition in your life, it's because there is a certain king who doesn't know Joseph? He doesn't regard the principle of multiplication. And who was Joseph? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to try as best as I can to dismantle the character we call Joseph so that you can understand why this king was fighting against this man. Am I speaking to people? So, number one, if you're writing notes, a devil who fights against your life, an enemy who fights against your life, it has to do with multiplication. Am I speaking to people? Remember, you are fighting against an enemy who doesn't like the manifestation of a mess in your life. Addition and multiplication. That's why, right now, when you begin to check your life, that day, instead of to end more, was the day more problems came into your life. I've heard many people say, more money, more problems. Why is it that when you get more, then you get more attacks? It's because the enemy of your progress doesn't want to see you entering into a dimension of addition whereby things are added into your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Multiplication. Number two, I want you to understand something about the name Joseph. That man Joseph, he was the embodiment of a certain dimension of mystery in his life. He was the embodiment of a certain dimension of ministry. Thank you, Jesus. Of all the sons that Jacob had, none of them had a great impact in their time and in their disposition compared to Joseph. You can see that there is an anointing that was following this individual. Am I speaking to you?
Amen.
In particular, we know Joseph was a prophet. But I want also to show you that he was also someone whom God had given the grace of the apostolic movement. Many people think that the apostolic movement is started after Jesus. Because we think the Old Testament and the New Testament, you don't know how to read each testament. The Old Testament, that you say the Old Testament, is the Old Testament because of the principle that was gathered in the Testament, which is the law of Moses. But then there are people who never existed under law. And when you read the Bible, you think that there are also characters that you can define under the Old Testament. For example, people like Abraham, that man, he existed in the dimension of grace, not in the dimension of the law. Am I helping someone?
Amen.
So, Joseph, he was someone whom God had prepared for an apostolic movement. When we are talking about the apostolic movement, it is the movement that ends. That's why when you read the Bible in the book of Acts, the Bible, after Pentecost, the Bible begins to talk of additions. After the Spirit came upon the 12. Then you begin to see the church being added and added and added. So the apostolic movement, it is a ministry that brings a tension. It is also a ministry that is foundational. It brings forth establishment. Because without Joseph, the Israelites, they were going to die because of anger. So he brought establishment to his people. When he delivered them from the hunger that they were under. And I'll pick someone here. Thank you, Jesus. And when you check into the ministry of Joseph, the Bible clearly says that the people that went together with Jacob to the land of Egypt, they were 70 people. And then the Bible begins to mention them by names. From Exodus chapter 1, reading it on your own time. From Reuben, Levi, all those people. There were 11 of them. That were with the father. But one of them was not with the father. Who is Joseph? He was in Egypt. Am I speaking to people here? And if there's someone who understands numerology, we are talking of numbers. You were told to count from 0, 1, 2, 3, up to what? Up to infinity. But numbers themselves, they are constructed from 0 to 10. Numbers themselves, they are counted from 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. When you get to 10, actually from 9, from 10, you start again.
Yeah.
You start again to ASL.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're talking about men's here.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you read from school. From 9. The moment you come to 10, you go back to 1.
Yeah.
But you have to ASL.
Yeah.
How would you get? So number 9 can be a number of perfection, accomplishment. Number 10 can be a number of fulfillment. You finished counting. Now you are beginning something. So you are starting from scratch. Number 11 becomes a number of new beginnings. Because because now you are beginning again to count. Am I beginning to believe? So how many people were with the father, Jacob? There were 11 people. Thank you, Jesus. There were 11 people. So they were in the dimension of what? Of new beginnings. But the dimension of new beginnings doesn't make sense. Especially if those new beginnings are not to be established. How many of you have started things, new things, and you celebrated, I need a new house. I need a new car, I need a new suit. But then, you didn't stay in that dimension of new beginnings. Am I speaking to people? So there was something that was lacking, which is the other number, the other member. He was already in Egypt to make the number 12. And now when we get to the number 12, this is the number of the patriarchs, the number of the fathers. This is the foundational number. This is the number of establishment.
Amen.
This is the apostolic number. That's why there were 12 patriarchs. And when Jesus began ministry, he had to choose 12 apostles. When he went out, then the ministry was supposed to be established upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. And how many apostles? There were 12. So, in the absence of Joseph, the apostolic mantle was not going to be made prominent in the land of Israel. Am I helping someone here? Am I helping someone? I see some people confused now. Am I helping someone here? Thank you, Jesus. How would you get the church of God?
Amen.
So are we agreeing that this man, he was not only a prophet, that's why after interpreting everything, and then he told the king that you are going to experience 7 years of what? Of a serious drought. And 7 years of what? 7 years of abundance and 7 years of a serious drought in that order. That prophet, he told the king, look for someone who is wise in your realm so that he can manage the 7 years of increase. Because after the 7 years of increase, there's going to come 7 years of a serious famine, of a serious drought. So the king is saying, who can be as wise as you are? So he was seeing the man, he was not only a prophet, but he was also into establishment. He was also an apostle. Because after the dream was supposed to be established. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And who had the wisdom to establish it? It was Joseph. Am I helping somebody here? Am I speaking to people here?
Amen.
Am I speaking to people here?
Amen.
So, the devil, he fights according to ministry again. When I'm saying according to ministry, a lot of people, they begin to think, but I'm not a prophet. So why is it that I'm being fought? But I'm not an apostle. Why is it that I'm being also fought? But you know, also in your family, the prophetic and the apostolic order, it matters also in the family. There are people who God has positioned in families so that those people can become like the eyes of the family. So that those people can become like the foundation of the family. So the reason why some of you are being fought, it is because the devil, when he's looking at you, he sees somebody who is a vision bearer in the family. He sees somebody who can bring stability, who is a foundational principle in the family. The devil doesn't just fight. Why are you being fought? If what you are doing is not foundational, if you are not laying foundations, many people who are fought, that's why I would like to believe that not all of us are being fought. The devil doesn't waste demons on people who are useless. Am I doing it with me? Why waste the most of people who are useless? People who accomplish nothing. There must be a reason. Tell me, Jesus. Am I speaking to someone here? There must be a reason. So, your presence in a family can be cause. Can be because God has blessed you with a mandate, with a mantle in that family. It can be a prophetic mantle. It can be an apostolic mantle. That's why a great you who have studied something that has never been done in the family are the ones who are being fought. Thank you, Jesus. If everyone has done it so, why can't they fight you? If everyone in the family was able to buy a bicycle, why is it that when now when you buy a bicycle, then the witches are angry? I'm asking. Am I making sense? Amen. Why? Of all the people in your family, everyone was able to buy a bicycle. So when you start to save now to buy a bicycle, and then the devil becomes angry. What's so special now? What's so special? Am I speaking to people? The devil invites people who are taught to hear us. Like bearers in the family. People who bring direction and new beginnings, new foundations in the family. Those are the people who have fought. In a ministry, in a country, the devil doesn't have. Before he was born, remember we said a God who knows the ending from the beginning. God knew that Joseph, he was supposed to be the deliverer of his people. It was already written in the mind of God. The mission of Joseph. Am I speaking to you? Amen. I want to show you by scripture. This man was fought to a great deal. He was fought. Even when you check their migration from the land of Laban, coming where Laban was, after the father had married, after the father had increased in wealth. Then you read the scriptures and then you begin to hear the angels communicating with Jacob. When Jacob decided to go back to the land of his fathers, there's something that I want to show you. The father, he knew that there is something special. Remember, Jacob was a prophet. He knew that there was something special. Am I speaking to people?
Amen.
Am I speaking to people who are even parents here? Yes. As a parent, you cannot be so foolish to a level where you cannot know your kids. When you are in your house, you can know that this child is going to be prominent. This one is useless. Am I speaking to people? But as a mother, you love them all. But you know that this one is going to be better. This one, his mind is not right. You know, am I lying to people here? Am I helping someone here? Thank you, Jesus. When you read the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 33 from verse 2, the Bible says, when Jacob was about to meet with his brother Esau, and then he realized that his brother Esau had gathered 400 men to be with him, so Jacob, he was very much afraid to a level whereby he divided his family into three groups. Because the Bible that I read says from verse 2 of the book of Genesis chapter 33 that if he put the eight men, remember Leah, remember Rachel, the eight men that they given to the husband. And then there were children that were born out of them. Am I making sense?
Amen.
So, Jacob, he was having children out of Leah, children from Rachel, children from the handmaids, the mates of these two women. Are we in agreement? Are we in agreement? But when he heard that Esau was coming together with 400 men to meet him, he was afraid. And then he divided his family into three groups. The first most group to be sent was the handmaids and their children. they were put in front. Because Jacob said, if they die, this was the don't matter. If Esau begins to kill these ones, who run, other party will survive. And the other group that was put in between was Leah with her children. Remember, Jacob never loved Leah that much. Leah was just a wife of appointment. He was given first appointment. So Leah was sick. Am I speaking to you? You are seeing three groups. The first one is the enemy's death. And let me listen to people here. The enemy is dead. The second group is Leah and her sons. And here there is Esau and 400 people. So Jacob is afraid that, you know, this man, why is he coming to meet me with an army of people? He's afraid. Maybe Esau is still holding a grudge of what I stole from him. Maybe he wants to destroy me. So the first group was the enemies and their children. How do you mean the church of God? The second group was Leah and the children. So if he destroys Leah, if he destroys the enemies, let it be. Leah may escape. Am I speaking to people here? And Leah was in the middle with her sons. Am I speaking to people? If Leah and her group, her sons are destroyed, maybe I will be left with only Rachel and Joseph. I'm trying the best I can. Am I speaking to people here? I'm trying the best I can to show you something hidden in the scriptures today. So you are saying people. Some of you also do what I'm talking about here. When you're going to a big city, the big money, you put it in your socks. The change money, you put it in your front pockets. In case they search your pockets, someone, you know, I don't know, am I speaking to people here? Then it happens that they search all of your pockets, now the other money is in the socks. They're saying, if this one is stolen, it doesn't matter. I can still make it. If this one gets to be stolen again, it doesn't matter. I still am very safe. Am I speaking to people here? So you are seeing the division there of three groups of people. Am I speaking to people? And by reason of division, you cannot divide according to just division. You don't just divide. You divide according to importance. Am I helping someone here?
Amen.
You divide according to importance. I'm trying to show you something here. You don't just put something that you love for first and foremost, and then people manipulate it. And they're heartbroken and they're left with nothing. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Am I speaking to people? So, Joseph was in the last. Why? Because the father, he was a prophet. He knew what this boy carried. He knew what this boy carried. He knew that this boy, he carries a bigger function to deliver us. He knew. Am I helping someone here? Am I helping you? Now, when you read the word of God from the book of Genesis chapter 37, verse 20, you begin to hear the brothers of Joseph coming together against Joseph. But before I can go there, I say there are how many things that the devil will fight? He fights multiplication, number one. He fights your purpose, number two. It can be either you carry an apostolic purpose or a prophetic mandate upon your life. He knows that it is written that you are going to fulfill something in your family. He knows that upon your life you carry the mandate to deliver the rest of the family from the captivity of generations.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Am I speaking to me for you? The last thing that the enemy will fight against will be the vision. decision. Of the decision. I'm trying to break up this character, Joseph, so that we can be able to understand why even this king didn't recognize him. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Am I helping somebody here?
Amen.
Genesis chapter 37, verse 20. The Bible that I read says, the brothers, they gathered together and they said, come now, therefore, and let us slay him. Who was supposed to be slain?
Joseph.
And remember, the father, he was afraid that Esau can slay my sons. He didn't want Joseph to be slain first. He put him in the last. It might be someone here. Now you are seeing the brothers now agreeing that, you know, come now, therefore, and let us slay this boy. And after we slay, we are going to throw him in some pit. And we will say that some beast has devoured him. We are going to say to the father, some beast has devoured him. And we shall see what shall become of his twins. The reason why they wanted him dead is because they wanted to see. He was a dreamer, I think. So they wanted to see, okay, after we kill you, let's see what is going to happen now when he's dead. Thank you, Jesus. Am I speaking to people here? Am I helping someone here? Am I helping someone here? People who are fought, it's because also of visions. That's why a great deal of you who are being fought is because you talk too much again. You share too much. When you want to buy a new fridge, you go to the mother next door and say, I want to buy a new fridge. That one is too double doors. It has a big mirror. Buy your piece of money. You share your visions. When you want to buy a car, you announce to the whole neighborhood, I want to buy a car. And then they are hearing you. Am I speaking to people here? When you want to build a house, you announce it again to the whole community. I want to build a very big house with 18 rooms. So that when you come, I will give you a spare room there somewhere. There's somewhere to sleep. You like to announce your dreams. Am I speaking to people here? Am I speaking to people here? So the brothers, they say, Joseph, let's kill him and let's see what shall become of his dreams. There are certain people who are attacked by reason of what they dream. You are just attacked because of your dreams. You are just attacked because you are a vision carrier. You carry a vision. You carry a dream. I've never seen people fighting someone who doesn't carry a big vision. How are you gonna waste your energy fighting someone who doesn't have a vision? Because even the Bible said that where there is no vision, the people perish. So why do you waste? The devil, he knows that if you don't have a vision, you're going to perish. There's nothing out of you at the end of the day. It doesn't need to fight you. Because the absence of vision alone, it is a big fight already in your life. Thank you, Jesus. The devil, he fights dreamers. People who dream big. People who dream big. People with vision. That's why a great deal of you, you don't dream nice. You don't dream nice. Now we begin to get into the message. You don't dream nice. When you sleep, they come and fight you there in the dreams. They don't want you to. Am I speaking to someone here? Why fight someone in a dream if dreams are useless? If dreams are useless, why then are the brothers saying, let's kill this individual so that we see what is going to become of his dreams? If the dreams are useless, why do you need to kill someone? Why do you need? Nice and slow, I believe I'm trying to show you. So the Bible, when the Bible is saying they rose up a new king in Egypt, we didn't know Joseph. The Bible is saying that they rose up someone who didn't regard the principle of multiplication. Because by identity, Joseph means addition, means God will add. And by character, Joseph is a bearer of a mandate, a prophetic mandate and an apostolic mandate. Am I speaking to people? By function, Joseph is a dreamer. He is somebody who is able to peep into the future, to be able to see what will be able to happen tomorrow. So why disregard Joseph? He knows that this individual has an ability to see what will happen next. Thank you, Jesus. And look into the measure, the strategies that the enemy is putting across. The Bible that I read says, and the king said, let us set some task masters over them. Task masters. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know, if you want to investigate into life so that you can be sure that your life, in your life, you need deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to investigate that you need deliverance, look into the things that you are devoting much of your energy in accomplishing. Are those things bringing multiplication in your life? If you are working from morning to evening, working from location to location, but at the end of the day, you don't have the fruits, you don't have multiplication, then that one, it can highlight to you that you are in need of deliverance. Because that devil, that I know, when he fights you, he fights your increase, your ability to see addition and multiplication becoming your portion. Am I speaking to somebody? Am I speaking to someone?
Yes.
That devil that I know, when he's fighting, he fights the character and the ability, the function. What are you? Who are you? And when you talk about the function, what can you do? Am I speaking to you? So when the devil fights you, he says that when you continue to multiply, according to the mantle, according to the grace that you have in your life, that is embedded in your character, he knows that you are a prophetic function in the family. He knows that you are an apostolic function in the family. So when you continue to increase, he knows that you're going to bring deliverance even to those other people around you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
And when he looks into life, he fights your ability. What can you do? Because if you've got this ability to be a dreamer, you can dream, and you know, people are sure that what this man has dreamed, something big is about to happen tomorrow. So the reason why the brothers were trying to kill this individual, they say, let's slay him and see what shall become of his dreams. But Pharaoh, he said, let's use wisdom against these people. Let's set task masters. Somebody say task masters. So what is a task master? What is a taskmaster? From the Hebrew word, taskmaster, the word it means, from the Hebrew, they call it sar, S-A-R, sar. And that word sar, in Hebrew, it means a head person. So when the devil shakes your ability, and he tries to fight your ability, the best thing that he accounts, the best thing that he appoints over your life, to oversee your life, is a healthy person. In those ones, we call them taskmasters. Those are things. They can be demons, they can even be people, if you are not careful. Because the Bible says, then the taskmasters, they began to afflict the Israelites with deadness. They began to afflict Israelites with deadness. So they can be people, they can even be spirits. When you check into your life, how many burdens are you carrying? Is it worthy for you to be carrying those burdens? Well, some of you, when you check into what you labor for, there is no profit, there is no gain. When we ask you from January to December, what are you working for? There is nothing to show off. There is no profit. So what are you working for? When you wake up to go to work, what are you waiting for? Thank you, Jesus. Because if there be a taskmaster appointed to oversee you, that person becomes the head person. So it means that you are now under management. Whatever that you do, you're not doing it for yourself and for your benefit and for your profit. Because the Bible that I read says, and then they began to build treasure cities for Pharaoh, Pithom and Ramses. Thank you, Jesus. In a business, you begin, you must look into your life. Are you profitable? Or you're under a taskmaster. Are you making profit in your business? Or you're just a servant of China City there in Joburg. They make money through you. And when you come to Paris, you don't make anything. At the end of the day, when you check into your life, there is no profit. There's nothing that you can point that this thing is coming from the fruit of my labor. How can you know that you are under a head person, under an authority? Check your toils, your toilings. You wake up in the morning. What are you achieving for yourself and for your family? Am I speaking to people? Are you sure? You're waiting for your family, or you're waiting for that white man? They're making you more money than you're making for yourself. Thank you, Jesus. I know you don't want to hear things like this. Am I helping someone here? When a taskmaster is in your life, that one, ladies and gentlemen, is serious. Is a serious character of manipulation. When he's present in your life, you are manipulated. It doesn't matter how hard working you are. You don't have fruits. There's no fruits. There are no fruits. It can also be a demon. Mind you, it can be people. Some people, they don't know that they are in need of deliverance. Not only from demons, but from people. Because if you are really, really making money and then your money is just disappearing on people, you may be under the influence of taskmasters. Make money, they enjoy it. You make money, they enjoy it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm moving with this verse. You don't want to hear this. Thank you, Lord. Am I helping someone here? Am I helping someone here? A taskmaster will make sure it's you who do the dirty work. But when it comes to who enjoys the benefits that are enjoyed by a Pharaoh service somehow. When you check your labor, when you check your toiling, you begin to see no results, no activity that brings addition into your life. But when you check someone else, there's some activity there. masters. Thank you, Jesus. Because the king said, these people must not multiply. They must not multiply. They must not grow in strength. Let's account upon them, taskmasters. Thank you, Jesus. Today the devil is in trouble, and I speak to people here. Yes. Every individual, yes, unauthorized, overseeing the gates that have been creeping into life from today, that individual must be cut off. Yes. And the spiritual activity that has been monitoring you, how you work, your doings, your labor, and when you reflect in your life, there is nothing to show off. That demon must be cut off. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. What is a taskmaster? We are talking of a head person. It means that the thinking part is no longer your part. When a taskmaster comes in your life, the thinking part is no longer yours. Somebody is not thinking for you. You do the doing. He does the thinking. Because the taskmaster is the head person. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying explicitly as I can to expose. Yes, some people always come to think for you. Do it easily. You do it. You don't benefit anything out of it every now and then. Is there? Am I helping someone here? Yes. Amen. And some people, they are under the influence of demons that have captured your thinking patterns. Some of you, after you've done something, and if people come to you and ask you, why have you done it? You say, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. You don't know what you were thinking. It's because you were not the one thinking it out. Am I helping someone here? You were not the head in that thing. You were not the party planning and thinking it out. We are talking of task master spirits. They make sure that your responsibility is to train, to labor. And after that, they take away the benefits, the gains. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Am I speaking to people here? Yes. Today I declare a stop to any manipulation that has been recurring and recurring in your life. And when you try to reflect where you've come and where you've... Am I speaking to people here? Yes. Where you are right now and where you are going, you cannot see anywhere. Yes. It's like you don't have the vision because you're not the one involved in the thinking of those things, in the planning out of those things.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
What is the taskmaster? He's a ruler. He's a ruler. He's the one who rules your affairs. He captures everything that you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. If the devil is the one ruling everything happening in your life, then you're in need of deliverance. What is a taskmaster? A taskmaster can act as a steward. And what is a steward? A steward is someone who keeps things that do not belong to him. Am I speaking to you? Thank you, Jesus. A steward is somebody who's just keeping certain things that do not belong to him. That's why right now we are not satisfied with the position you are. You are so sure that the things that you have gathered in your life, they are not enough. They're not the things that God has oriented for you. There is someone somewhere acting as a steward, keeping things on your account. Thank you, Jesus. When we talk of taskmasters, we're talking of the principal force. What is the taskmaster? The principality. the principality. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are manipulating the atmosphere right now as I'm preaching. Thank you, Jesus. We are charging the atmosphere right now as I'm preaching. If you are in need of deliverance from individual, liberate yourself. Liberate yourself. Take into your life. Look at who is controlling your activity. Look at who is benefiting from that control. If it is not you, liberate yourself. Set yourself free from people. Thank you, Jesus. If you look at your life, thank you, Jesus. And then you can be able to reflect that this thing is out of demonic activity. Now, demons, they just make you to do things. You just say things. Things that you never wanted to say. Just find yourself under a manipulation. And when people ask you, why did you do it? At the end of the day, you say, I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. Today is not a day for everyone else. It's a day for people who are saying, enough is enough. The enemy has been manipulating my English for too long. The enemy has been trying to put me under for too long. Has been fighting my strength for too long. He has set his order to govern my affairs for too long. I know my potential. I know what I deserve. I know that in this locality, I do not deserve to be in this position. I know that I must be somewhere else in life. Thank you, Jesus. It's really a message for everyone. Thank you, Lord. We are bound to deal with principalities right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Am I speaking to people here? Am I helping someone here? That devil doesn't want things being added in your life. Because in the numerics of the devil, there's only subtraction. The devil doesn't want to see multiplication becoming a portion. That day you begin to increase is that day a problem comes knocking at your door. That day, thank you, Jesus. That's why to a great degree, a lot of you, the day when you get a salary, that's the day problems come knocking at your door. He doesn't want to see multiplication in your life. The day that you collect your money from your customers and you think, now I have also this certain amount of money. Then you begin to hear calls coming. And you begin to see multiplication beginning to falter, beginning to be subtracted, subtracted, subtracted. Then no, I'm talking to you and I'm speaking to people here. That day when you begin to think that I have received something of worth in my life, and then the problem comes to knock it out. Then know that you're fighting a certain king who doesn't regard. Thank you, Jesus. We are talking of a king who works with principalities. Thank you, Jesus. Am I speaking to people here? I want to minister to people who are saying, I'm tired of this situation. I'm tired of where I am right now. I'm tired of this delay. I'm tired of this situation. Those are the people that I prepared this message for. Thank you, Jesus. People are saying, I've heard enough. Enough is enough. Thank you, Jesus. In the spiritual order, man, you've got a husband. But when you come in the material order, there's no one. In the spiritual order, when you dream, you've got children. But when you reflect in the material order, there's nothing to show. In the spiritual atmosphere, you dream driving nice cars, owning a great deal of wealth. But when you look into the material order, you cannot see any progress. There is something wrong that we need to correct today. Am I making sense to people here? Am I speaking to someone here? The book that I read from the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. The Bible says, and he has resurrected us. And he has seated us riches in Christ. So our possession is not an earthly position. That's why the Bible says that you must know that you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but you wrestle against rulers, against powers, against principalities, against powers of darkness. But how do you fight something that is operating from another dimension? You must be cautious of where you are sitting, because you are not sitting in this earthly dimension of life, but we have been resurrected. You have not only been resurrected, you also sit together with Him in heavenly places, far up above rulers and principalities. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to make a prayer. I'm done. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make a prayer. I want us to make a prayer. And the prayer that you are going to make, thank you, Jesus, you are going to say, Father, let that principle of force fall down. You are going to say, let that principle of force fall down. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if I'm talking to the right people. Because when you are fighting a principality, ladies and gentlemen, it means you are fighting in management. You are fighting in management. You are fighting in management that is trying to have control over all that you are doing in this life. You must fight consciously of what you are engaging against. Am I speaking to people here? Thank you, Jesus. We want to make a prayer, a small prayer. Thank you, Jesus. And we are going to change this atmosphere. We're going to turn it upside down. Thank you, Jesus. It's not going to be a conducive atmosphere for demons. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's not going to be a conducive atmosphere for principalities. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to check into your life and see those things. Visualize those things that you know that these things, I'm fighting against them. And I want you to begin to pull them down, pull them down, pull them down. Thank you, Jesus. Am I speaking to people here? Thank you, Lord. I want you to begin to pray. Pray, you know.
From me, Martin Siziba, I believe that this segment has been a blessing to you. You are free to share this message and spread the kingdom of God. This episode has been brought to you courtesy of Royal Kingdom Embassy. We are located in 3 centers in Paris, Free State, South Africa, as well as in 2 centers in Cape Town, Somerset West, as well as Guguletu. Join us every Sunday for worship. For inquiries, please call +277 2866 330. Alternatively, you can email prophet.martins1@gmail.com. Be empowered to experience kingdom life.